the tradition out here of family, you know, families, you had father and following or son following father. That was the way with you.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah.
And what happened to
not
you?
Not with me, not with me, Morris, no. I would be known as a runner.
Yeah. Like me, Dick.
I came to the area when I was 16 and a half, yeah. And as a result of relations that I had, that's how I secured a job in the mill at the time.
Oh, yeah. I see.
See, the families up there were Quinns, O'Neills, Brady's, Connors. And Connors.
They were the main names,
yeah, right? They were names.
That, and the nicknames. Like, yeah.
And everybody had a nickname.
Snap
Betty.
Quinn,
Betty is Sarah always at Quinn. Me. That's not his name. When you call the man by his right name, when you be talking to anybody, that fella doesn't know who you were talking about. Even Tosser Timmins and the runner Timmins.
And your father was Peeny, wasn't
it? And Peeny Brady was my father's nickname. And he when my father was born in England, you see, his father was a soldier in the British Army, and he came home here to live when he was, I think, 5 or 6. And his next door neighbor
was that the
here,
First World War.
His father would have been in the First World War.
And did he survive?
He did, because my sister Dodie said he was shell shocked because he worked in the mill and he used to be drilling the coats on the wall.
Yeah.
So whether that was true or not, yeah, he came home, and the man next door then was roughly the same age kids, and Mr. McDermott was my father's uncle, even though they were nearly the same age kids, and he couldn't say Peter. So that's how I believe my father got the name Peeny, you know. We used to always think it was because he was so good at the gardening that he was called after the Peeny Rose, you know, but it wasn't. It was the man not able to say his name, you know.
Any more nicknames did you recall, Rory?
Oh, yeah.
Jiggy Brady, my brother. Brodzer Brady.
Brodzer, Redmick.
Redmick McDermott, yeah, yeah. Who else?
Wicklow,
yeah.
Storks.
And Storks Connor.
He was a big, long fella.
Big, tall fella, yeah.
The Giller Timmins.
The Giller Timmins was the calendar man when I was a helper on the cutter, yeah. Right? And I was told I was going to be moved up with Mick, the Giller. Mick was his name, Giller Timmins. And he was real, you know, he was fond of drink, and he was I thought he was very wicked or that, you know. But anyhow, Ger Fitzgerald was working with him at the time. He was temporary, you know, working on the calendar with Mick Timmins. And I went up just to say, and Ger said to me, "Kit, you needn't worry now about going with the Giller, because he's the best of them to work with."
But
when he'd come in at night on a night shift, you couldn't say anything to him until about 1 o'clock, you know, in the morning. He'd be out having a few drinks or that coming in, and he'd have a real sour puss on him, you know. But he was real nice. He was a nice man, you know.
Yeah.
I had a motorbike, and we used to go to 6 o'clock mass in Talland when we'd be working Sundays, you know. Off the night shift, and he came with me, and I had goggles on, and it was hazy rain. And he says to me into my ear, he says, Kit, do you see the cows? And I lifted up the goggles, and Bootman was bringing his cows across the road, down like several hundred yards, where I couldn't see with the. But once I got nearer, I would have seen them, you know. But when we came out of mass, anyhow, he saw that the motorbike. He was small, you know. He says, "Kit, did you really not see them cows that time?" I said, "No, mate, but I would have seen them in time. Sure, yeah. They were hundreds of yards away from me with the water on the goggles." But he says, "I'm just trying to make up my mind whether I'm going back with you or not, you know." So he did, all right. But
so after such a long line, I suppose the factory's been there for your father's lifetime, and when it finally closed down, it must have been devastating.
It was dreadful. No. A lot of the lads were lucky to got jobs on the county council
and all that.
A lot of them got on. Yeah. I was idle, I didn't know where to go. And my next door neighbour, who was my father's first cousin, said I was out in the garden one day. He said, "Kitty, are you not working?" "No," I said. "No." He said, "Did you see Jimmy Meegan?" Meegans now were a family up on the hill here, all went to school in Sagar. I said, "No, why? What about him?" She says he's in charge of anybody who gets work in Baldonnell. He's in the, he was in the civil service, you know.
Yes.
And anything connected with Baldonnell, he was the man. And I wrote to him, and I called him, and he wrote back to me. And he said, the next time you're signing up and you're, tell them that if there's work going, you'd like to get going in Baldonnell. It was handy in here. I was in it that year.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, 6 months, you know, work. Yeah. Like, there was so many fitters and electricians employed, civilians. Yeah. And they had to have helpers, so I was in as a helper.
Yeah.
See, Christy Timmins.
And
that's Christy. He was lived in Rathcoole. He was the general foreman for the county council around. He employed most of the lads.
Them. Yeah. And Jack Martin was a
Jack Martin.
Yeah. He was a good man.
I was lucky.
What happened then? Sorry, what happened to all the machinery that you know that was there? And,
oh, we don't know.
And the building itself. Yeah.
But you're after before the mill shut, Clondalkin were experimenting on number 2 machine. And I think they were trying to make paper out of chemicals. It was all big vats they were bringing in. And what, like, I never went near them. Yeah. They were on number 2 machine.
Well, remember, you know, that destroyed Shiprock Bond, the watermark. That's the only, they're still doing it now.
Yeah.
It's been, the last I heard it was being made in Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they cheapened the furnish, the whole lot. It was a quality paper. And it just disappeared off the market for a couple of months. Did a hell of a job getting it back, but they got it back eventually.
I see. But the machinery, it was...
It
went foreign, did it?
I think it went to Africa or someplace.
I'd say so.
And
like
there was stories about it, that, you know, it disappeared. So a lot of it disappeared too.
Yeah. You wouldn't know where it all
went. The usual.
And no accounts or no...
No accounts. Yeah. The truck came in, took a load of machinery out, went off and...
Go away. And no, did you say
go? No, we knew where it went, who took it away, who was driving around here.
They had a machine up there for it was a marine engine, it was called. It was a huge thing in its own building and all, you know, you'd go up the top of it and the ladder for making electricity.
Yeah.
Before the electricity came around. And they sold it for scrap to Hammond Lane.
Yeah.
And I was on the night shift and Miley Brazel, and Miley was really interested in it as well. And we'd go out every night to see the machine, where they were cutting it all up. Like, the pistons were that size, you know?
Yeah.
And there was only one man in the mill knew how to start and work it. And on the outside there was a flywheel and it was solid steel, that width. And then there was the dynamo. And when it'd be going, you wouldn't think the wheel was moving, you know? You'd think it wasn't moving or anything. It was that, and no noise from it. Beautiful machine. And you could see all the pipes inside that bringing oil to the bearings and all, you know. If it was there now, it would be something for the viewers to go to look at, you know.
It was that good.
Yeah, it was a beautiful big thing.
Yeah.
You know, it was huge. It was you had to go up a steel ladder and all to get up to the top. It was on Hammond Lane, came out and cut it up.
Oh, that would break your heart. Well, to see that.
Yeah.
But that does happen with places when they close. Clondalkin was the same, Tommy.
Yeah, that's correct.
I was there at the end of Clondalkin. I sold off all the old stock in Clondalkin. That's the...
But who sold the machinery out here in Saigon? Well,
Clondalkin owned it, so they must have got rid of it.
Yeah. Doc Sherry and Patsy Hannon and...
Yeah, God knows where it went.
Hugh Warby.
Yeah. But sure, they bought a new calendar for to put at the end of the machine. A fairly high one, you know. There was a small one that was always there. But they bought a bigger one, and there was a whole weekend of work done, like, to install it and all. So when they installed it and all, it wouldn't match up with the machine. They could only use so many rolls of it.
Yeah.
You know? The paper couldn't come down through all the rolls. Missed some rolls and went out where it wouldn't work.
And who made that decision?
The boss of the mill. He was the boss. Like, the boss up there was the boss. If the fitters would do work on a Sunday, and you could be at the machine the next Monday, he'd come up along and he'd know everything that was after me. Of course, they'd be after writing it into their books, you know. He'd know, he'd check, he'd know everything. But he was very good in other ways.
That's Hosmer, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was generous in ways, you know. Yeah. Like, during the war, he all the young lads that were working that were let go, tearing the covers off the books. You know what he did? He bought them all slains and turf bars and all, and sent the, and the lorry and all, the mill lorry, to bring them up to Kippure, to cut turf for the mill, for the boilers.
He sent them up to where?
Kippure. To cut turf.
Did he not?
Yeah. And sure, I don't think they ever got a lorry load off them lads into it, up their broad stricken and all. But that's, that's what he did. And my father, like my brother, older brother, was working. They were all only young lads, you know. And my father got the word to name the lads that could be gone, you know. And he put his son's name, my brother's name, on it. And the boss said to him, "Why'd you put the, your own lad's name on it?" "Ah, well," he says, "we're all working here, and there's people, there's some of the other lads that have no jobs," you know. That's the way he looked at it.
Hoping to, and did he get away with it?
Oh yeah, no, he got John joined the army. John loved the army. He died in Cork in the army.
Yeah.
So,
but you miss it like mad now, do you?
I don't miss going to it. I can tell you that.
I don't miss it now either.
Like you'd go like, and you'd be sitting down having your bit of food, and the machine would break. Well, and you might be bringing home your bit of food the way you brought it in. You wouldn't get a chance to eat it.
And just one last thing, you know? What were you eating?
Just a lunch, whatever.
What was your lunch?
Mostly bread and butter, cheese, and cheese. You know, things like that. Or you might, and in the spring, in the summertime, you'd have the scallions and the lettuce and that too. Do you know?
Oh, would you?
From the garden that you grew yourself.
Yeah, that you grew yourself. Yeah, you only got it in season. You know.
Yeah.
My father used to have loads of scallions. He used to come down. The girls used to come down at dinner time from the mill to buy the scallions to have them.
But during the war, I don't think there was any fruit. There wasn't.
No, we had fruit.
Oranges
or bananas. No. Sure, Betty would tell you, her father brought up an orange from the town in Kilkenny, and one of our young brothers was playing with it as a ball. She didn't know you could eat it.
I heard in one of the programmes last night, I don't know what it was, television, somebody said, one of the soaps, I think it was on, I was reading the paper, he said, "I was 12 years of age before I knew what a banana was." the last war. Yeah. I remember the bananas being flown in, especially for sick children.
Do you?
Oh, I do. You're right.
Because when we were kids, we were up...
With children with TB, is it?
Yeah.
It would be, yes.
Because when Stephen's Day came, we used to go around with our aunt, you know, kids. And we'd head for Crook's Lane. And you wouldn't be in the wards, be outside. And we used to go into the farm up there. Kate Bro's brothers and all worked in they were all beyond milking. And you get a few coppers off them, you know. But the patients, I remember, threw bananas and things out at us. Yeah. Out the windows,
So listen, I could stay talking to you forever, do you know that? It's such an interesting story. But listen, thank you very much indeed. So, Kit Brady and Dick Farley, thank you both.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well done, lads.